Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Ever Merciful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah, the Lord of all created beings. Wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulihi al-kareem. And may Allah raise the rank of and grant peace to His most trustworthy or His most honorable messenger, Nabiyyana Muhammadin, our Prophet Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. As for what follows, then we welcome our brothers locally at Al-Masjid Al-Awwal and internationally on Miraf English Radio to our eighth session in this series of tafsir, explanation of Surah Al-Hujurat from the tafsir of the great scholar Al-Allama Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala. We thank Allah ta'ala for allowing us to get this far, and we ask for ease. We ask Him alone for ease in completing what we have today and the remainder of the surah upon iman and conviction. Allahumma ameen. We begin. And this session here is building off of the last session where we finished the verse about scoffing and mockery. And Allah Ta'ala ends that verse with, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. And whoever does not repent, then they are the oppressive ones. So then the issue of tawbah is at hand. The issue of repentance is at hand. And today's session is entirely a reminder from the Shaykh about the reality of repentance and its conditions. The Shaykh is going to mention for us five conditions that must be fulfilled for a person's repentance to be accepted from any sin. So we begin on page 42 of the printed version, and it's Al-Halqatu Thamina, the eighth session of our PDF that is available online in links found in the description of this audio, insha'Allah ta'ala, for those of you listening to the recording. The Shaykh says, فَإِنْ قَالَ قَائِلٌ. If a person were to say, مَا مَعْنَا التَّوْبَةِ. What is the meaning of tawbah? What is the meaning of repentance? فَنَقُولُ. Then we say, التَّوْبَةُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. Repentance from the slave, from the servant, from the person. أَنْ يَنْتَقِلَ مِنْ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ إِلَىٰ طَاعَتِهِ. Is that he changes his state from disobeying Allah to obeying Him. وَالتَّوْبَةُ. And repentance, مِنَ اللَّهِ. Repentance from Allah, or the word tawbah coming as an action ascribed to Allah. أَنْ يَقْبَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الْعَبْدِ. Is that Allah accepts that act of repentance from His slave. فَيُبَدِّلُ سَيِّئَاتِهِ حَسَنَاتٍ. And so He changes. He exchanges for him his bad deeds, meaning the ones he repented from, into good deeds. قال الله تبارك وتعالى. And Allah the Blessed and Most High has said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا آخَرَ وَلَا يَقْتُلُونَ النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهِ. And in description of the true servants of Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful, Allah says, and those who do not call upon anyone besides Allah, no deity whatsoever, and they do not murder anyone that has been prohibited, whose life has been protected. Ila and qal, all the way in those verses, and these are near the end of Surah Al-Furqan, till he said, Illa man taba wa amana. Except for, meaning these are the people who commit such crimes, will be in the hellfire. Illa, except for من تاب, those who repent. وآمنا, and they have iman, they have faith. وعمل عملا صالحا, and they work righteous deeds. فأولئك, such people, يبدل الله سيئاتهم حسنات. Allah will exchange for their bad deeds good deeds. وقد تطلق التوبة من الله عَلَى تَوْفِيقِهِ الْعَبْدَ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ. And it could be the case as well, linguistically, that tawbah is something that is ascribed to Allah from another meaning, that He grants his servant's success to repenting. That as well is a form of tawbah from Allah, as we'll see in the texts. فَلِلَّهِ تَعَالَى So for Allah the Most High, عَلَى الْعَبِّ تَوْبَتَانِ There are two kinds of tawbah that Allah is described with as it relates to his interaction with his servant. تَوْبَةٌ بِمَعْنَى التَّوْفِيقُ لِلْتَوْبَةِ One tawbah that means Allah gives the person success and makes the way available for him to repent. وَالتَّوْبَةٌ بِمَعْنَى قَبُولُ التَّوْبَةِ And the other tawbah means the acceptance of that repentance from the servant. Now if you think logically here, it is possible for Allah to have given one of these two to someone but not the other. That Allah guides him to repent and makes the way to repentance for him, that is tawbah from Allah. And then he doesn't repent, he turns away. So he doesn't take the guidance from Allah and he refuses. And this happens much. Allah gives the person a way to repent. Allah guides the servant to repent, makes the way for repentance open to him. And then the servant repents, and then Allah, another tawbah, is ascribed to Allah, that Allah accepts the repentance. That's another tawbah from Allah, the acceptance of the repentance that is offered. Well, you'll hear the two ayats that are going to be used to prove each tawbah from Allah. The first one, وَالدَّلِيلُ عَلَىٰ هَذَا The evidence for this, قَوْلُهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَىٰ or قَوْلُ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَىٰ The statement of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا The three, upon the three who were left behind, or who remained behind, حَتَّى إِذَا ضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضِ Until the whole earth became restricted upon them, بِمَا رَحُوبَتْ وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ And their own selves became restricted upon themselves. وَظَنُّوا أَن لَا مَلْجَأَ مِنَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا إِلَيْهِ And then they had certainty. ظَنُّوا here means أَيْقَنُوا. They had certainty. They knew for sure that there was no fleeing from Allah except to Him. There was nowhere to run from Allah except towards Him. ثُمَّ تَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ Then Allah gave tawbah to them. Right? Tawbah here is ascribed to Allah. Tab Allah. Allah is the one who did the tawbah for them. ثُمَّ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ لِيَتُوبُوا So Allah gave them tawbah, meaning He made the way of repentance open for them. لِيَتُوبُوا In order for them to make repentance. There's tawbah, two kinds of tawbah there in the verse. That Allah had made tawbah for them, meaning made the way to repentance open for them. لِيَتُوبُوا In order for them to repent. Another tawbah from the servant. أَيْ وَفَقَهُمْ لِلْتَوْبَةِ فَتَابُوا The meaning there is He gave them success. He granted them success in repenting. And so they repented. أَمَّا التَّوْبَةُ الْأُخْرَى As for the other tawbah, meaning the one ascribed to Allah, وَهِيَ قَبُولُ تَوْبَةِ الْعَبْدِ That is the acceptance of the repentance of the servant. فَمِثْلَ قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى Then that's like the statement of Allah the Most High. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُو عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ He is the one who accepts the tawbah. يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ He accepts the tawbah from his servants. وَيَعْفُو عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ And he excuses them from their sinful behavior. I think a more explicit proof here would be فَتَلَقَّى آدَمُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ كَلِمَاتٍ فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ That Adam had received words from his Lord and then Allah made tawbah for Adam. Meaning Allah accepted the repentance of Adam. فَتَابَ عَلَيْهِ Not تَابَ آدَمُ إِلَيْهِ Not that Adam repented to Allah. But here فَتَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى Adam. Allah accepted the repentance of Adam, which includes that taba Adamu ila Allah, fataba Allahu alayhi. So Adam made repentance to Allah and Allah accepted that repentance. So the verb taba yatubu is something that is ascribed to Allah. It doesn't mean that Allah repents, wali'adhu billah. It means that Allah accepts the repentance from the servant, or it could mean in some cases that Allah makes the way to Tawbah open for some of his servants whom he prefers. These two verses, by the way, the thalatha that were left back. Who are the thalatha that were left back? From Ghazwat Tabuk, Ahsan Sheikh Sadiq. Do you know any of their names? Ka'ab, Ahsan. Ka'ab ibn Malik. Barakallahu feek. He's the one that we remember most from the story because his hadith is the one that is narrated about the 50-day boycott that ensued. Right? That's Ka'ab ibn Malik wa sahibayhi and his two companions. You know the names of his two companions? The two that were also... You know what was the deal here? Tabuk was taking place, the battle was starting, the people were leaving with the army, and these three remained behind. With others, with munafiqun, with hypocrites. Hypocrites remain behind because they're afraid to fight, and they're afraid to lose their lives. These three remain behind from a weakness, from something that was preventing them. Not from nifaq, not from hypocrisy. But something prevented them, and they just didn't go out. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back, it was his custom that any hypocrite that came to offer an excuse why he didn't go to battle, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would excuse them all. But they had to offer an excuse. So people would say to Ka'ab, tell him your mother needed you, tell him something. And he refused except to not offer any excuse. And he and the two like him, who were devoutly truthful and honest, preferred not to offer any excuse. And say to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in their apologies that they have no excuse. They have no reason to have stayed behind. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam left them without accepting their excuse or their apology and left them. While he accepted the excuses of the hypocrites, these were believers. These were believers who better was expected from them, so they were boycotted for 50 days. Right? And throughout that time, you can read the narration about it, a very stressful time for Ka'b ibn Malik and Hilal ibn Umayyah and Mirara ibn Rabi'ah. Those three, they were honest, devout, not hypocritical. And so they were boycotted to the point where if they showed up in the marketplace, they wouldn't be sold anything. Nothing would be sold to them. If they greeted people anywhere, they would not be, their greetings would not be responded to. Nothing. To the point where they remained in their houses because they were so ostracized from the boycott. Allahu Akbar. Then their repentance was announced, meaning Tab Allahu alayhim, Allah accepted their repentance, right, and announced their honesty and praised them in Surah At-Tawbah. Now,
what verse?
Verse number 118 in Surah At-Tawbah, the one that we've mentioned here. And the verse we mentioned, the verse the Shaykh mentioned about وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ, and he is the one who accepts the tawbah from his servants. That verse is from Surah Shura. And the verse I mentioned adding to that was from Al-Baqarah. From Surah Al-Baqarah. وَتَوْبَةُ الْعَبْدِ تَحْتَاجُ إِلَىٰ شُرُوطٍ. The repentance coming from the servant requires conditions that must be fulfilled. إِذْ لَيْسَ كُلُّ تَوْبَةٍ مَقْبُولَةً. Since it's not the case that every act of repentance is acceptable. That's not the case. وَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مَنْ قَالَ أَنَا تَائِبٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ يَكُونُ تَائِبًا. And it's not the case that everyone who claims or says that he is someone who repents to Allah is truly someone who repents. بَلْ لَا بُدَّ مِنْ شُرُوطٍ. Instead, there are some conditions that must be fulfilled. The Shaykh is going to mention five. The first one, الشرط الأول, the first condition to be fulfilled for the acceptability of repentance, and يخلص لله تعالى في التوبة, that a person be sincere in his repentance, sincere to Allah alone, Allah the Most High alone. أي لا يحمله على التوبة أنه خائف من أبيه. It is not that he, the thing that has led him to repent is that he's afraid of his father. أو خاف من أخيه الأكبر, or that he's afraid of his big brother. أو خاف من السلطات, or that he's afraid of the governmental follow-up, police, or you know, some kind of government follow-up. أو تاب لأجل أن يقال فلان مستقيم, or that he repented in order for it to be said about him that he is an upright person. Meaning he was worried about his image, and he was worried about what the people would say about him. وَالْإِخْلَاصُ لِلَّهِ فِي التَّوْبَةِ Sincerity to Allah in one's repentance, and يَكُونَ الْحَامِنُ لَهُ عَلَى التَّوْبَةِ is that the reason why a person repents is طَلَبَ رِضَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ is seeking the pleasure of Allah the Mighty and Majestic. وَالْوُصُولَ إِلَى كَرَامَتِهِ and to gain His pleasure, or to gain His grace. وَالْإِخْلَاصُ شَرْطٌ فِي كُلِّ عِبَادَةٍ And sincerity is a condition for every act of worship to be accepted. الشرط الثاني, the second condition, الندم, remorse, على ما فعل, regarding what has proceeded from him. ومعنى يندم, in the meaning of him being remorseful, أي يَتَحَسَّرُ وَيَتَكَدَّرُ أَنَّهُ وَقَعَ مِنْهُ هَذَا الشَّيْءٍ That he is regretful and sorrowful that such a thing has taken place from him. وَيَخْجَلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ And he is ashamed in front of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. الشَّرْطُ الثَّالِثِ The third condition. أَنْ يُقْلِعَ عَنِ الذَّنْبِ فِي الْحَالِ That he desist from the sin immediately. That he repents, in his repentance is that he discontinues. He desists immediately. He stops the sin. وَذَلِكَ بِأَنْ يَأْتِيَ بِالْوَاجِبِ إِنْ أَمْكَنَ تَدَارُكُهُ That he completes the obligation if he's able to complete it, meaning أَدَاءً فِي وَقْتِهِ Meaning that he completes it in its time that has been legislated for it. And then I'll give some details to that with the next phrase. أَوْ بَدَلِهِ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ تَدَارُكُهُ Or he brings about its replacement if he's not able to offer it in its time. Terminology used by the scholars of fiqh here that are important. The word أَدَى أَدَى means to offer the act of worship in its legislated time. It's called أَدَى. So when you offer a day of fasting in Ramadan, you're not sick, you're not traveling, and you're fasting. Your intention there is ada'an. You are offering it as the original obligation, in its time that it's been legislated to fast. When you become sick and you don't fast a day, and then you make that day up later, when you make that day up, this is ada'ul ibadah fi ghayri al-waqt al-mashru'i lahu. It is not the originally legislated time for it. It's outside of Ramadan now. You're making the day up later. Right? It's permissible. You have, as the scholars of Usul say, مَعَ إِذْنِ الشَّارِعِ لِذَلِكَ Allah, the legislator, has allowed this to be done. However, for Salat, for example, the person was neglectful regarding his Salat, for Salat al-Asr. And he neglected it knowingly. Not with an excuse. Not sleeping. Not forgetfulness. He knowingly pushed it and delayed it until it was done. Some of the scholars say there's no kafara except tawbah. There is no badal. There is no qada here. There is no making up the salah outside of its time because you need idhn al-shari'. You need the permission of Allah to make an act of worship outside of its time. And you don't have that in this case. And that seems to be what's correct. Someone who has not made his salah in its time disbelieves upon willingness, willfulness, no coercion, no excuse, no sleeping past the time, no forgetfulness, intentional, willingly allows the time to pass. He repents to Allah and turns back to Allah and intends to never do that again. However, there is no permission for him to make that salah up. This is why you hear, sometimes you may hear, that some of the scholars would say otherwise. They say he has to make up the salah. And so what happens when a person has abandoned salah for years? You'll hear two different fatwas based on this point of differing right here. Based on that then, if you left off salah for 2 years, you must make up, according to those who say qada is upon you, you must repent to Allah and make up 2 years worth of salah. And they say to accomplish this, while it's difficult, for a period, for a like period, double your salah. So go 2 years offering two fajrs, two dhuhrs, two asrs, two maghribs, and two ishas every day. For those who say that the salat must be made up qada'an for someone who abandoned it for a time willingly. And for those who say no, there is no qada, then it's easier, right? Tawbah, sincere, devout tawbah, and then you make the salat that's in its time and continue from there. That's why you hear that differing of opinion sometimes, because they differ about whether it's permissible to offer a salah outside of its time with negligence and no excuse. Some of them allow it and some of them don't. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. So let's go to fasting, which is easier for us to understand. So if a person, let's say a person broke his fast sinfully in Ramadan, a few days, and he wishes to repent. He hears a nice khutbah on Friday about the obligation of being sincere and that the fasting, the door of Rayyan in paradise, he hears all this motivation from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he wishes to repent and put what he has done behind him. What does he do? Immediately, he stops breaking the fast without excuse. Can he make qada? Yes, the scholars say he makes qada. After Ramadan is over, he makes qada, he makes the days up. He replaces the days that he broke sinfully. And he does ada from now on, in the rest of Ramadan. So for example, today he's repenting, he does today's fasting ada'an. Because he falls into the first thing the Shaykh says. In amkana tadarukuhu. He's still in Ramadan and he can still catch some days. So what does he do? He fasts those days in Ramadan. And then, أَوْ بَدَلِهِ إِذَا لَمْ يُمْكِنْ. It should say, إِذَا لَمْ يُمْكِنْ تَدَارُكُهُ صَحِحْ. If it's not possible for him to make it up in its time, in this case, there's only qada, there's only making it up later, a day in its place, then he does that for the days that he missed. وَأَنْ يُقْلِعَ عَنِ الْمُحَرَّمِ إِذَا كَانَ الذَّنْبُ فِعْلًا مُحَرَّمًا. And that he stops committing the sin if it was a sin that was being committed. So here the Shaykh has mentioned two actions that a person would repent from. The first one is a tark. The first one is abandoning an obligation. And so he immediately stops abandoning it and he offers it either ada'an or qada'an. Either as offering it in its time starting now, or qada'an, making it up when he's able. Either way, he begins now to offer that act of worship that was an obligation on him that he was not fulfilling. And that was his sin that he's repenting from. The other sin, the other type of sin, is a fi'l. It is an action. So one is a lack of action, not fulfilling an obligation. That's a sin. The other sin is doing something that is haram. Not refraining from something, but doing something that is haram. If you're making tawbah from neglect, then you immediately conform and start doing. If you're making tawbah from doing something wrong, then you stop and do not continue in that action. So it's one of two cases. It's not always stop doing the sin, because why? The sin can be neglecting an obligation. So the reason why you're repenting is because you're not doing something that you should be doing. So either way, to stop the crime, whether the crime is not fulfilling something or doing something impermissible. So he gives an example. فَإِذَا كَانَ الذَّنْبُ فِي حَقِّ الْإِنسَانِ بِأَنْ يَكُونَ شَخْصٌ سَرَقَ مِنْ إِنسَانٍ مَالًا. And if the sin was connected to the right of another person. Now he's not calling this a shart actually. He's not calling this one of the conditions of tawbah, but he's mentioning it here under iqla. And other scholars mention this as a shart, as a condition for tawbah. That if his crime involves taking the right of another person, like stealing money, for example, وَالسَّرِقَةُ haram, and stealing is haram, وَتَابَ الرَّجُلُ وَنَدَمْ وَعَزَمَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَعُودُ. And so the man repents, and he has remorse, and he has resolved to not return to it, which that's a hint, the fourth one, the fourth condition which is coming, that's what it is, the intention to not return, the commitment, we'll say, the devout commitment to not return to that sin. فَلَا بُدَّ أَن يُوصِلَ هَذَا الْمَالَ إِلَىٰ صَاحِبِهِ. then it is a must that he return or he deliver this wealth to its rightful owner. Right, that's a condition for his repentance with other scholars. They mention that as a separate condition. وَلَا يُمْكِنُ أَن تَتِمَّ التَّوْبَةُ إِلَّا بِهَذَا. It's not possible that his repentance or repentance would be complete without this. Logically, would you accept that from someone? He steals your money. He steals your entire bank account, your life savings, everything you own. And then he comes to the masjid. And he's known to be a disbeliever. He comes to the masjid and accepts Islam. Says, I wish to accept Islam and repent from everything bad I've ever done. Would you help him to be a Muslim? Of course you would. Would you tell him that he doesn't have to pay back any money? No, you tell him, along with your Islam, your repentance will be complete when what? When you pay that money back. Why? Because that's a condition for his repentance. His Islam will be valid. However, his repentance from that sin of stealing will not be valid until he completes its conditions, even on top of accepting Islam. So I mentioned that as an example where it becomes very clear that even with the acceptance of Islam, that doesn't wipe away the debts or the rights of other people that have to be returned. Otherwise, what would happen? The people would rob banks and just come to the masjid. Fakes, frauds. They would just rob a bank and come to the masjid, accept Islam. And they have $50,000, they have $20,000 stolen from someone. And they think, now I'm a Muslim, I don't have to pay anyone back. Now I'm a good, upright, religious person. And they would only be tricking themselves, right? You have to pay back whatever was stolen. Now the Shaykh goes into a common misconception that people have, a doubt that people have, which leads them to not follow the instructions from their scholars properly. فَإِذَا قَالَ أَخْشَى إِنْ ذَهَبْتُ إِلَى هَذَا الرَّجُلِ. If a person says, I'm afraid if I go to this man, meaning the one he stole from, وَأَعْطَيْتُهُ الْمَالَ, and I gave him back the money, فَيَتَرَتَّبَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ ضَرَرٌ عَلَيَّ, that some harm would come back on me because of that. وَعَلَى سُمْعَتِي, upon my reputation. رُبَّمَا أُحْبَسُ, maybe I'll be put in jail for admitting a crime like stealing. رُبَّمَا يَدَّعِي أَنَّ الْمَبْلَغَ الْمَسْرُوقَ أَكْثَرُ, maybe he'll even claim that the amount that was stolen was more than this. وَأَنَا قَدْ تُبْتُ إِلَى اللَّهِ, and I'm a person who has repented to Allah. قَبَلَ أَنْ يَقْدِرَ عَلَيَّ, before he gained the authority over me, meaning before I was arrested for stealing. فَكَيْفَ تَكُونُ الْحَالِ, meaning he feels he should be excused because he has voluntarily repented from stealing without being caught by the police or something. So what should the situation be? فَهَلْ يَجُوزُ أَن يَتَصَدَّقَ بِهِ عَنْ صَاحِبِهِ, is this person allowed to give charity on behalf of the person he stole from? What do you think? Can he just give in charity, intending that the charity is from the guy he stole from, so that the credit goes to him in the hereafter? Is that possible? Some of you say yes, some of you confused. The Shaykh says, وَالْجَوَابُ لَا يَجُوزُ, the answer is, it's not allowed, not permissible. Why? Here the Shaykh explains, لِأَنَّ صَاحِبَهُ مَعْلُومٌ, because he knows the person he stole from in this case. He knows who it is. He's just afraid of certain things. أَمَّا لَوْ كَانَ مَجْهُولًا كَمَا لَوْ سَرَقَ مِنْ أُنَاسٍ نَسِيَهُمْ, if he was not known, like he stole from some people and he's forgotten who they are that he has stolen from. أَوْ جَهِلَهُمْ, or he never knew them. Imagine a stick-up guy, sticks people up. He doesn't know his victims. He has money. And this kind of person accepts Islam. So he has stolen money, and he does not even know who the victims are. He doesn't know whose money it is that he has stolen. Very possible case. وَلَا يَدْرِي أَيْنَهُمْ, or he doesn't know where they are. Maybe he knows them, but it's been a long time, and he doesn't know where they are. فَهُنَا يَتَصَدَّقُ بِمَا سَرَقَ عَنْهُمْ, and in this case, he gives in charity for the amount of money that he has stolen from them. Because why? It's not possible to return the money. He doesn't know them, or he doesn't remember them, or he doesn't know where they are. لكن إذا كان معلوما, However, if the person is known, the one he stole from is known to him, لَا بُدَّ أَنْ يُوْصِلَهُ, he must return it to him. He must get the money or the wealth. Here the theft is all about wealth. It's cars, money, property, anything that was stolen. He must get it back to him. One point to add here, just a little bit more explanation. The scholars say, if you gave in charity on behalf of the person that was not available, not around, you know who he is, but he's not available and you can't find him. So you give in charity the amount that you stole from him, and then he appears after that, now you have to pay him back, and that charity will count in your favor. That charity will count in your favor, and you still have to pay him back his right. لكن إذا كان معلوما لابد أن يصله ويمكن أن يعطي شخصا يثق به. It's possible for him to give that money to a person he trusts. ويقول يا فلان, and he says, listen, person, إني سرقت هذا المال من فلان. I stole this money from so and so. وقد ندمت وتبت إلى الله. I have become regretful and I have repented to Allah. ومن فضلك أعطيه إياه. So please, give this to him, meaning on my behalf. وَقُلْ لَهُ, and say to him, when you give it to him, say this to him. هَذِهِ دَرَاهِمْ, these coins, these dollars, or this amount of money, huh? مِنْ إِنسَانٍ تَسْتَحِقُّهَا عَلَيْهِ, it's from a person who owes this to you. وَهُوَ الْآنْ يَبْذُلُهَا, and now he has reached out to pay it back to you, meaning keep it anonymous. وَلَكَنْ لَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ الَّذِي وَكَّلَهُ أَنْ يُوصِلَ الدَّرَاهِمَ مَوْثُوقًا عِنْدَ صَاحِبِ الْمَالِ. Additionally, it's a must that this person that you have assigned to do such a thing be someone trustworthy. Counted as trustworthy according to the person who is going to receive the money. لِأَنَّهُ لَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ مَوْثُوقًا لَتَّهَمَهُ صَاحِبُ الْمَالِ. If he wasn't trustworthy to the one who gets the money back, then perhaps he may be accused of something by the person he's returning the money to. وَقَالَ, and it may be said to him, أَنْتَ السَّارِقُ, you're the thief. وَالْمَسْرُوقُ أَكْثَرُ, and the money that was stolen was more than this. And now he's in a problem, where he is now viewed as the one who has stolen. فَلَابُدَّ أَنْ يَكُونَ ثِقَةً, so it is a must that he be a trustworthy person in the view of the one who's having his money returned. وَإِذَا لَمْ يُمْكِنْ, if that's not possible, فَيُمْكِنُ أَن تُرْسَلَ بِالْبَرِيدِ, and perhaps this money can be sent to him by the mail. And we'll add to that, because the Shaykh lived before the time of bank transfers, we could say a bank transfer directly into his account, right, to be sure that it gets there. وَيُقَالُ, and it's said to him, along with this transfer or along with this returning of the money in an anonymous way, هَذِهِ دَرَاهِمْ, these are some coins, or some amount of money, مِنْ شَخْصٍ تَسْتَحِقَّهَا عَلَيْهِ, from a person who owes this to you. وَفِي هَذِهِ الْحَالِ, in this situation, مِنَ الْمَعْلُومِ أَنَّكَ لَنْ تَكْتُبَ اسْمَكَ, it's known that you're not going to write your name, you are not going to identify yourself. وَأَيْضًا يَحْسُنُ أَنْ لَا تَكْتُبَهَا بِقَلَمِكَ, it's also preferable that you don't write with your pen, if you have a pen that you're known for. Or meaning if you write with your pen, your handwriting. لِأَنَّهُ رُبَّمَا يَمُرُّ عَلَيْهِ وَيَعْرِفُ خَطَّكْ يَوْمًا مِنَ الدَّهَرِ. Maybe a situation might come up and he recognizes your handwriting someday. هَذَا إِذَا كَانَ الْحَقُّ مَالِيًا. That's if the right that was taken was money. And now he ends his discussion on that. He's given us some very detailed what if cases, right? What if this and what if that, to very fine detail. أَمَّا إِذَا كَانَ الْحَقُّ غَيْرَ مَالِيًّا, as for if the right that was taken in the sinful behavior was not financial. مِثْلَ أَنْ يَكُونَ شَخْصٌ اِغْتَبْتَهُ, like it's the case of a person that you have backbitten. His right has been encroached upon, but it's not financial. فِي مَجْلِسٍ أَوْ مَجَالِسٍ, in a sitting or more, in one sitting or many sittings. فَكَيْفَ تَكُونُ التَّوْبَةُ مِنْ هَذَا, so how is repentance to be done from this kind of behavior? قَالَ كَثِيرٌ مِنَ الْعُلَمَاءِ, many of the scholars said, لَابُدَّ أَن تَذْهَبَ إِلَيْهِ, it's a must that you go to him. وَتَسْتَحِلَّهُ, and that you seek His pardon, you seek His forgiveness. وَإِلَّا فَسَيَأْخُذُ مِنْ حَسَنَاتِكَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Otherwise, He will take from your good deeds on the Day of Judgment. فَذْهَبْ إِلَيْهِ وَقُلْ لَهُ. So go to Him and say to Him, يَا فُلَانُ سَامِحْنِي. O so-and-so, please forgive me. وَقَالَ بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ. And some of the scholars said, لَا يَجِبُ أَن تَسْتَحِلَّهُ. It's not an obligation that you go to Him personally asking His forgiveness. وَإِنَّمَا تَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُ وَتُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ الَّتِي كُنْتَ تَغْتَابُهُ فِيهَا. Rather, you seek forgiveness for Him. You ask Allah to forgive Him in His absence. And you praise Him. You say good words about Him in those sittings where you used to backbite Him. وَالْحَسَنَاتُ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. And good deeds, they push away or they repel away bad deeds. وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. And it's come in the narration. This is called سِيغَةُ التَّمْرِيدِ. For those of you building on yesterday's reminder about hadith sciences, here's the narration of a hadith with a wording that indicates there may be something wrong with its authenticity. He says, وَقَدْ جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. He didn't say, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, this is a wording that comes in a hadith. And if you were to compare that to what comes later in the same lesson, later on in this lesson you'll see, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم لَلَّهُ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا. Verily Allah is more happy than one of you, and you'll see the hadith there, that which is clearly an authentic hadith. So here he says, جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ, and there he says, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Here he says, it has come in a hadith, and there he says, the messenger or the prophet has said, صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is an indication that the hadith has a problem in its authenticity. The wording of it is, كَفَّارَةُ مَنِ اغْتَبْتَهُ. The expiation for the crime of you backbiting someone, and تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُ, is that you ask for forgiveness for him. It's mentioned here in the footnotes. It's been collected by Ibn Abi Dunya and so on. However, it's got issues in the chain, as is obvious from the way it's been narrated by the Shaykh. Al-Qawl al-Thalith, this is the third position held by some of the scholars as it relates to how you repent from backbiting. First one was what? Go to him and apologize. Second one was do not go to him and do not apologize. Their reason, on top of what has been mentioned here, is that the person you go to may not know about what you've done, and you're going now to admit something horrible, and this may break apart your relationship that was good until this point. Meaning the backbiting that you did, he didn't know about it, and so your relationship is intact. You need to repent from something he doesn't know about. Right? So there is that possibility, and they account for that in the second position. The third position, وَهُوَ قَوْلٌ وَسَطٌ. It is a middle position. وَلَعَلَّهُ السَّوَابِ. And it is hoped that it is correct. And in fact, he ends by saying, وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ, as you'll see, and it is the truth. إِن كَانَ صَاحِبُكَ الَّذِي اقْتَبْتَهُ قَدْ عَلِمَ بِذَٰلِكَ. If the person you've backbitten, he knows about it, فَلَابُدَّ مِنْ أَن تَذْهَبَ إِلَيْهِ وَتَسْتَحِلَّهُ. It is a must in this case that you go to him and you ask him to forgive you. لِأَنَّهُ لَنْ يَزُولَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ حَتَّى تَسْتَحِلَّهُ. Because what's in his chest is not going to be solved or relieved until you apologize. أَمَّا إِذَا لَمْ يَعْلَمْ فَيَكْفِي أَن تَسْتَغْفِرَ لَهُ. If he doesn't know about it, then it's sufficient that you ask Allah to forgive him in his absence. وَأَن تُثْنِي عَلَيْهِ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ. And that you praise him or say good things about him in the sittings. أَلَّتِي كُنْتَ تَغْتَابُهُ فِيهَا. Those sittings where you used to backbite him. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And Allah is all forgiving and all merciful. وَيَنْبَغِي لِمَنْ جَاءَ إِلَيْهِ أَخُوهُ. And it's a must for someone who has his brother come to him. يَعْتَذِرُ مِنْهُ. Asking for his excuse, apologizing to him. And يُسَامِحَهُ, that he excuse him, that he be gracious and excuse him. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي, and it's not befitting, and يُنَاقِشَ, that he go into the details of that. ويرى ما الذي حصل, and he look into what happened exactly. لأنه ربما يذكر شيئا كبيرا. Maybe in that discussion something big would come out. فتعجز نفس صاحبه عن أن يحلله. And due to that, the person who's being asked for lenience and forgiveness, he can't excuse the person now because things have come out that are very big and he's focused on that and he doesn't excuse the person. لِأَنَّ النَّفْسَ أَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءٍ, because the soul has this inclination towards evil behavior. فَالْأَوْلَى أَنْ لَا يَسْأَلْ, so what's more befitting is that he doesn't ask about the details of the backbiting or anything. وَأَنْ يَحْتَسِبَ الْأَجْرَ مِنَ اللَّهِ, that he hopes for reward from Allah in forgiving the one who comes to him apologetically. وَيَقُولُ هَذَا جَاءَ مُعْتَذِرًا, he says this person came to me apologizing. وَمَنْ عَفَى فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ, and whoever excuses people then his reward is with Allah. وَيُرْجَى فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ أَنْ تَعُودَ هَذِهِ الْغِيبَةِ ثَنَاءً حَسَنًا, and it's hoped that in the future this backbiting that took place will become something of a great praise. وَهَذَا التَّفْصِيلِ, and this third choice which has the breakdown of if it's like this, then that's the action. If it's like that, then that's the action. If he knows of your backbiting, then approach him and apologize. If he doesn't know of your backbiting, then seek Allah's forgiveness for him in his absence and mention him in good. هذا التفصيل, this breakdown here, هو اختيار شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية, it is the position held by شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله, may Allah have mercy on him. As the Shaykh says here, وَهُوَ الْحَقِّ, and it is the truth. It is, this is obviously a firm conviction or a firm conclusion from the author, rahimahullah, it is the truth. وَهُوَ أَنَّهُ إِن كَانَ عَالِمًا فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَسْتَحِلَّهُ, if he is an alim, then you must seek his forgiveness. What's that mean, Abba Maryam? إِن كَانَ عَالِمًا فَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَسْتَحِلَّهُ حَتَى يَزُولَ مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ, so that what's in his chest will go away. وَإِن كَانَ غَيْرَ عَالِمٍ فَلَا حَاجَةَ إِلَى اسْتِحْلَالِهِ, if he's not an alim, there's no need to seek his to apologize to him. He's not an alim. Who knows? So this is about the virtues of the ulama. This is why you have to think critically when you read the book of the scholar here. This is why it helps to have Uncle Musa with you. Alhamdulillah. Is our Shaykh, is Ibn Taymiyyah saying, if he's not an alim, then don't go to him and apologize? Someone who knows about your backbiting. So he's not an alim. So don't go to him. Don't go apologize to him. And he knows about your backbiting. And you're repenting from backbiting. He's just a regular person. He's not a scholar, so don't go to him. Is our Shaykh saying that? No. Decisively no. Because the scholar knows all the rulings? No, we've misunderstood the passage if we're going on this long, thinking that the word alim here means a scholar. We've misunderstood, we've jumped a little bit here in our understanding. If he's an alim, then you have to seek his forgiveness. In kana aliman bil ghiba. If he's a person who had ilm, he had knowledge about your backbiting. Not if he's a scholar of Islam. That's what it means. If he's an alim, here means الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ غِيبَتَكَ, he knows about your backbiting. That's his ilm. Not that he's a scholar, and that you go to the scholars and apologize to them, but not to anyone else. No, that's falsehood. That would be a horrible misunderstanding to have from this passage. Right? So if he's an alim, as it relates to what has preceded, if he knows about the crime that basically confirms what he has said, remember, he is reiterating the position that's correct, which he believes to be that when a person knows about your backbiting and you wish to repent, you must go to him. So if he's an alim, meaning he knows about the backbiting, then go to him, and that would relieve what is in his heart. وَإِن كَانَ غَيْرَ عَالِمٍ, and if he's not an alim, meaning he doesn't know about the backbiting, right? فَلَا حَاجَةَ, then there is no need to go to him to apologize. It's not about the status of the person, how high his knowledge is. It's about, does he know about the events that took place or not? That's where he's an alim of it or not an alim of it. Well, if he doesn't know, if the one who's been backbitten knows.
Yeah.
Excellent, good. Then he finds out. How can he find out?
Yes.
There's someone to investigate for him, you know, a third party. You know, did you ever hear anything from this person against you? And he says, no, that's a good brother. He's never spoken badly about me. Then you say, okay, leave it like this. Easy, you just get knowledge of what you need knowledge of in order to fulfill what our ulama advise us to do.
So you're saying this alim is a person who knows about the backbiting?
Yeah, the meaning of the word alim is not scholar.
So
it's the one who knows about the backbiting.
So if he knows, so you go for it. Right?
Yeah, once he knows, there's a problem here.
Right.
Every time he sees you, he knows what you've said about him. There needs to be a solution to this problem, so you have to go apologize to him. But the one who, when he sees you, there's nothing in his heart, he loves you, he has no reason to think badly about you, but you've backbitten him.
You know
it, but he doesn't know anything about it. So leave it like that. Don't introduce something that causes people to separate and not like each other. Don't introduce it now. Repent from it and leave it that it was secret and it never reached him.
Yeah.
Those two things, that you ask Allah to forgive him, right, and that you mention him in good from now on. And the Shaykh said, in the places where you used to backbite him, in the places, in the occasions or the sittings where you used to backbite him, in those, with those same people, you say that that person is a virtuous person and you say good things about him. Of course, with balance, you don't make up virtues that the person doesn't have. Whenever you praise someone for a necessity, you only praise him with what he truly possesses. So you don't go the other extreme now and begin to praise him with things that he doesn't deserve to have said about him. Rather, you praise him for his virtues that he rightfully possesses. هَذَا بِالنِّسْبَةِ لِلَّذِي اغْتَابَ غَيْرَهُ. This is as it relates to the person who's backbitten someone else. أَمَّا الَّذِي اغْتِيبَ. As for the one who has been backbitten, وَطُلِبَ مِنْهُ السَّمَاحِ. And it's his grace is being requested. Someone is apologizing to him. فَالَّذِي نَرَى. What we see, أَنَّ الْأَفْضَلَ وَالْأَكْمَلَ أَنْ يُحَلِّلَهُ. The most virtuous thing to do, the most complete thing to do is that he accept that apology. And he tell him, no problem, it's behind us. لِأَنَّهُ أَخُوهُ. Because that's his brother. جَاءَهُ مُعْتَذِرًا. He has come to him apologetically. Nadiman, regretfully, فَلْيُحَلِّلْهُ. So let him excuse him and forgive him. وَثِقُوا أَنَّهُ إِذَا حَلَّلَهُ. And let him have confidence that so long as he forgives him, سَتَكُونُ كَبِيرَةً وَعَظِيمَةً عَلَى الشَّخْصَ الَّذِي اسْتَحَلَّهُ. That's going to be a huge thing on the person that he has forgiven. A huge, heavy thing on him. That he's been forgiven. Sayara, he's going to see, or he's going to feel, أَنَّهُ أُهْدِيَ إِلَيْهِ أَكْبَرُ هَدِيَّ. That the greatest gift has been given to him from someone. فَتَنْقَلِبُ الْكَرَاهِيَّةُ أَلَّتِي كَانَتْ مِنْ قَبَلُ. So the hatred that he had before is going to change, إِلَى مَحَبَّةٍ وَأُلْفَ. To love and familiarity. وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَطْلُوبُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And this is what is sought from the believers, from the Muslims. And يَكُونَ بَعْضُهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ. That they are to each other, إِلْفًا مُحِبًّا وَادًّا. They are familiar, on good familiar terms, loving of each other, and compassionate with each other. Loving and mutually loving each other. الشَّرْطُ الرَّابِعُ. The fourth condition now, for the acceptability of repentance. أَنْ يَعْزِمَ عَلَىٰ أَنْ لَا يَعُودَ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. That he intends, he commits, truthfully, that he's not going to return to it in the future. أَنْ يَكُونُ فِي نَفْسِهِ نِيَّةٌ عَازِمَةٌ. He has within himself a dedicated intention, جَازِمَة, with conviction, أَنْ لَا يَعُودَ لِهَذَا الذَّنْبِ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. That he is not going to return to this sin in the future. فَإِنْ تَابَ. وَهُوَ يَقُولُ رُبَّمَا أَنَّهُ يَطْرَعُ عَلَيَّ أَنْ أَفْعَلَ الذَّنْبِ. If he repents while he has in his mind, then it's possible I might go back to that. I might do it again. If that's in his heart at the time of his repentance, the Shaykh says, فَهَذَا التَّائِبُ لَا تَسِحُ تَوْبَتُهُ. This person who's repenting will not have his repentance accepted. This kind of repentance is unacceptable. لِأَنَّهُ. Why? Because لَا بُدَّ أَن يَعْزِمَ عَلَىٰ أَن لَا يَعُودَ فِي الْمُسْتَقْبَلِ. He must intend to not return in the future. To branch off from that, what happens if this was truly his intention? He said, enough, kafa, I'm done with this. And he repents earnestly. Later on, what happens? His habits catch up to him, and his routine catches up to him. The shaitan whispers to him with what is familiar to him from his sins that he committed in the past. Then what happens if he goes back into it? Does that mean his tawbah won't be accepted for the previous sin? Because he has now returned to the sin again. La. He made tawbah, and at the time of his tawbah, he was firmly dedicated and sincere that he will never do this again. Now he's back doing it again after that. Does that prove that he wasn't sincere?
No.
That's the situation of a believer. He falls into a sin again and again. When he repents, the ibrah here, the lesson or the point that makes the tawbah, the repentance, valid or invalid, is at the time of his repentance, is he sincere, honest, and dedicated to not returning to the sin or not? It's not a condition that he never do that sin again in his life. But rather, he may fall into it in the future without intending at the time of repentance that he will do that. Rather, he repents from it, intending to be absolutely finished with that sin, and that he's not going back to it. To add to that another point, some of the scholars add here a condition that is related to this, that to prove his azmah, to prove his determination to not return to the sin, he must remove the pathways to that sin in his life. So for example, a drunkard wishes to repent from drinking alcohol. He may not keep his friends at the bar and go with them and drink Coca-Cola. Why? Because now every single day he's being tempted with the sin right in front of him. He has to exchange that whole situation because it's that social environment that would lead him into drinking. He has to get rid of all of that. And he has to find a new group of friends who will encourage him to stay away from alcohol in the future. Some of the scholars, they said, when the crimes have become so overwhelming around you, and we may be in this situation a lot in America, drugs and prostitution and all kinds of filth all around us, and we've fallen into some of that, and we continue to fall into it because of our environment, because it's all around us all the time, then what's required for a person's azm, to his dedication to his tawbah to be accepted, his truthfulness and his determination to stay away from the sin, is that he physically move. Hijrah. This is where some of the scholars say, making hijrah from a land of disobedience to a land of lesser disobedience, or a land of Islam, a land that is further away from the crimes that he kept falling into, because of his nearness to what's around him. Then they use as a proof what? The hadith of the man who killed 99 men. He killed 100 when the man told him there's no tawbah, there's no repentance for you. Then he asked a person who had knowledge and he said, you need to leave this place. فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضُ سُوءٍ or أَرْضُ سَوْءٍ, because it is a land of evil. Go to such and such people who worship Allah and they can show you how to worship Allah. So in that case, the man left intending to abandon his sin of murder and the place where it was overwhelmingly available, or the place that had led him into that sin again and again, had killed 99. كَمَّلَ الْمِئَةَ, even completed 100. So he was a mass murderer. And a person doesn't become a mass murderer with no influence from the environment. He just himself decided to do that. Rather, the environment influences him heavily to become so sickened. So, in this case, he left his land earnestly and sincerely in repentance to Allah, died halfway to the land where he was headed, and you know the story. He was eventually forgiven without having performed good deeds except for the hijrah. The tawbah, which included the hijrah, which included the leaving his land. So that if that is required, meaning if the sin you are committing is the result of you being in a land where there is nowhere to go in that land to get away from that sin, it is so overwhelmed by that sin, then you must leave that land entirely. Right? That's the fourth condition for Tawbah, that you be serious and you be committed and determined in your intention to leave the sin. Ash-shartul khamis, the fifth condition. And takuna tawbatu, that the repentance be offered fi waqti qabuliha, in the time that is legislated for it to be accepted. لأنه يأتي وقت يسد باب التوبة or يسد باب التوبة. A time will come when the door of Tawbah closes. ولا تقبل من الإنسان, and it's not accepted from a person. Repentance will no longer be accepted after that door closes. والباب الذي يغلق على تائبين عام وخاص, and the door that closes on people who wish to repent is of two types. One, a general kind of door that closes, and one is a specific door for each and every person. أَمَّا الْعَامِ, as for the general door of repentance closing, فَهُوَ طُلُوعُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, it is that the sun rises from the west. When the sun rises from the west, that's the sign of the establishment of the Day of Judgment. فَسَيَأْتِي زَمَنٌ, so a time will come, تَخْرُجُ الشَّمْسُ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ, when the sun rises from the west. وَالَّذِي يَرُدُّهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ, and the one who will bring it back, meaning after it sets in the west the night before, the one who brings it back from the western side is Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعَتِ الْخَلَائِقُ كُلُّهَا, if all of the creation were to come together, all of them, عَلَىٰ أَن تَرُدَّهَا مَا رَدَّتْهَا, to bring it back from the west, they would never be able to bring it back, making it rise from the west. لَكِنْ يَرُدَّهَا اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ الَّذِي أَمْرُهُ, however it is Allah that brings it back from its west, the Mighty and Majestic, the one whose affair is such that إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ, his case is that when he wants something to be done, he says simply, be, and it is. That's from Surah Yasin, the 82nd verse. تَرْجِعُ هَذَا الشَّمْسُ هَذِهِ الشَّمْسُ تَرْجِعُ هَذِهِ الشَّمْسُ الْعَظِيمَةُ, this great sun will return, إِذَا غَرَبَتْ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, after it sets on its western side, وَإِذَا طَلَعَتِ الشَّمْسُ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, and after the sun rises from its western side, آمَنَ كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ, every person on the face of the earth will believe, الْيَهُودِ وَالنَّصْرَانِي وَالْبُوذِي وَالشُّيُوعِي, the Jew, the Christian, the Buddhist, the Communist, وَغَيْرُهُمْ كُلُّهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ, and others, all of them will believe, لِأَنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَ شَيْئًا وَاضِحًا فِي الدِّلَالَةِ, because they'll see clear, evident proof, عَلَى الرَّبِّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, that shows the reality of the Lord, the Mighty and the Majestic. لَكِنْ لَا يَنْفَعُهُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, their iman on that day shall not be of avail to them. لِقَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى, because Allah, because of the statement of Allah the Most High, هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَن تَأْتِيَهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ, are they waiting for other than the angels to come to them? أَوْ يَأْتِيَ رَبُّكَ أَوْ يَأْتِيَ بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, or that your Lord comes to them, or that some of the signs of your Lord come to them. يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ لَا يَنْفَعُ نَفْسًا إِيمَانُهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ آمَنَتْ مِنْ قَبَلُ أَوْ كَسَبَتْ فِي إِيمَانِهَا خَيْرًا, on the day when some of the signs of your Lord come, it shall not be of any avail to any person that it has iman, that he has iman, that he hasn't, someone who has not had iman before that, or anyone who has not accomplished in their iman any goodness before that. وَفَسَّرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَوْلَهُ تَعَالَى, and the Prophet, may Allah raise his rank and grant him peace, explained the statement of Allah, يَوْمَ يَأْتِي بَعْضُ آيَاتِ رَبِّكَ, the day when some of the signs of your Lord will come, أَنَّهُ خُرُوجُ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا, that it is the rising of the sun from its western side, as is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih. وَحِينَ إِذٍ, at that time, لَا تَنْفَعُ التَّوْبَةُ, Tawbah, repentance will be of no avail. مَعَأَنَّ النَّاسَ كُلَّهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ While all the people on that day will be believers, believing. لَكِنْ لَا تَنْفَعْ However, that will be of no avail. لِأَنَّهُ إِنْسَدَّ الْبَابُ Because the door to repentance has been closed when the sun rises from the west. وَإِذَا سُدَّ كَيْفَ يَدْخُلُ النَّاسِ If it's been closed, then how would the people enter through it at that time? أَمَّا الْخَاصُ As for the specific door of repentance being closed upon a servant, that means his specific window of opportunity to repent to Allah may close. فَهُوَ أَنْ يَحْبُرَ الْإِنسَانَ أَجَلُهُ It is when a person's lifespan comes to an end. فَإِذَا حَضَرَ الْإِنسَانَ الْأَجَلُ If a person's lifespan comes to an end, فَلَا تَنْفَعُ التَّوْبَ Meaning as his last actions, when he realizes death is in front of him. Then repentance is of no avail at that time. لِقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى Due to the statement of Allah, the Blessed and Most High, وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ And tawbah is not, repentance is not for those people who do ill deeds all the way until death comes to one of them. قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ And he says, at now I repent. At this time, I'm going to repent. That's from Surah An-Nisa, the 18th verse. وَإِنِّي أَسْأَلْ هَلْ أَحَدٌ مِنَّا يَعْلَمُ مَتَى يَمُوتُ And I ask now, Shaykh Muhammad bin Saleh asked, saying what? I ask now, does any one of us know when he's going to die? أَبَدًا Of course not. رُبَّمَا يَمُوتُ الْإِنسَانُ وَهُوَ عَلَى مَكْتَبِهِ A person may die right on his desk. أَوْ هُوَ عَلَى فِرَاشِهِ Or in his bed. أَوْ وَهُوَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ Or while he's praying. أَوْ فِي أَيِّ لَحْظَةٍ At any moment. وَإِذَا كُنَّا نَعْلَمُ هَذَا وَنُوقِنُ بِهِ If we know this, and we are certain about our knowledge of this, فَالْوَاجِبُ أَن نُبَادِرَ بِالتَّوْبَةِ لِأَن لَا يُفْجِئَنَا الْمَوْتُ It is an obligation on us then to rush and hasten to repentance so that death doesn't take us by surprise. فَيَنْسَدَّ الْبَابُ And thus the door, our specific window of opportunity for repentance, close upon us. وَلِهَذَا كَانَتِ التَّوْبَةُ مِمَّا يَجِبُ عَلَى الْفَوْرِ This is why repentance is an obligation that is due immediately. Unlike other obligations that are, as the scholars of fiqh say, عَلَى التَّرَاخِي They are left to you to fulfill them within its time. For example, الحج واجب. Hajj is an obligation. عَلَى التَّرَاخِي If you have the ability to make hajj, you should make it now. But if you delayed it for a few years, that's your choice, that's your option. It's not sinful. Right? As opposed to tawbah, repentance. Repentance is wajib ala al-fawr, an obligation immediately. فَلْنُبَادِرْ بِالتَّوْبَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ Let us hasten to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal. وَلَيْسَتِ التَّوْبَةُ لِلَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ As repentance is not for those who do evil deeds. حَتَّى إِذَا حَضَرَ أَحَدَهُمُ الْمَوْتُ قَالَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ الْآنِ Until death comes to one of them, and then he says, Now I repent. هَذَا الْخَبْرُ مِنَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ This is a report from Allah, عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, the mighty and majestic. لَهُ أَمْرٌ وَاقِعٌ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ There is a reality that is clearly proven here. لَمَّا أَغْرَقَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمَهُ When Allah Ta'ala had drowned Fir'aun and his people. Did you know that Fir'aun believed at that time? And he repented. He said out of his mouth words of repentance. Listen to how Allah Ta'ala described that event. قَالَ فِرْعَوْنَ حِينَ أَدْرَكَهُ الْغَرْقُ Pharaoh said at the time he knew he was drowning, He said, آمَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا الَّذِي آمَنَتْ بِهِ بَنُو إِسْرَائِيلَ I testify, I believe that there is none worthy of worship other than the one that the children of Israel believe in. That is Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he had testified, لا إله إلا الله, from his mouth. Is it accepted from Allah Ta'ala? No, because why? It was outside of the time of Tawbah. Right? It was outside of his personal window of opportunity during his lifetime before he realizes that those last moments of a person's life where he realizes this is for sure death. At that time, the Tawbah will not be accepted. يعني الله عز وجل, meaning Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. He believed in Allah. وَأَنَا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, as he said, right? And I am from the Muslims. That's from Surah Yunus. Review it, the 90th verse. فَقِيلَ لَهُ. And so it was said to him, الآن, at this time now, أي الآن تتوب, now you're going to repent. لِمَاذَا لَمْ تَتُبْ قَبْلُ, why did you not repent before? الآن وَقَدْ عَصَيْتَ قَبْلُ وَكُنْتَ مِنَ الْمُفْسِدِينَ, now you repent when you had disbelieved before and you were from the people causing corruption. That's the 91st verse. فَلَمْ تُقْبَلْ تَوْبَتُهُ وَلِعَاذُ بِاللَّهِ, so his repentance was not accepted. وَإِذَا تَابَ الْعَبْدُ, and if a person repents, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْرَحُ, then Allah is happy. بِهَذَا فَرَحًا عَظِيمًا, with a happiness that is of a great level. لَا يَتَصَوَّرَهُ إِنسَانٌ, a person cannot even comprehend the happiness of Allah when a slave of his repents. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, there's that hadith I referred to. قال النبي, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, this is a tashrih, he's saying this is explicitly statement, a statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. لله أشد فرحا بتوبة أحدكم, verily Allah is greater in happiness with the tawbah of one of you, with the repentance of one of you. أو قال بتوبة عبده من أحدكم براحلته, or maybe he said with the repentance of his slave more than one of you would be with his riding beast. الراحلة, he had بعير, that means a camel. كان عليه طعامه وشرابه فأضلها, he had on this camel his food and his water and he lost it. يعني ضاعت عنه, it became separated from him, meaning in the desert where he needs it and there's no way of living without it. فطلبها فلم يجدها, so he sought after his camel and could not find it. فنام تحت شجرة ينتظر الموت, so he fell asleep under a tree just waiting to die. There's nothing else to do. ضعفت قواه, his energy has become all weakened. وخارت, and has left him. واضطجع ينتظر الموت, and he now just lays down waiting for death. فبينما هو كذلك, this is an example or a parable, at this time he's like this. إذا بناقته متعلقا زمامها بالشجرة, he finds that his camel is now tied to the tree right next to him. فأخذ الزمام, so he grabs onto the harness. فقال اللهم أنت عبدي وأنا ربك, in his haste and his joy he errs and he says, what? Oh Allah, you are my slave and I am your Lord. And he means the opposite. يريد أن يقول, he wants to say, اللهم أنت ربي وأنا عبدك, oh Allah, you are my Lord and I am your servant. لكنه أخطأ من شدة الفرح, he is rather how the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم described him, that he erred in his expression because of his joy, his tremendous joy. And then remember, this is a parable. How happy that person is. Subhanallah, look at how the Shaykh describes it. وَهَلْ تَجِدُونَ فَرَحًا أَعْظَمَ مِنْ هَذَا, would there be happiness in this life for anything in a greater way than this? لا, you wouldn't find it. لا, لِأَنَّهُ لَا فَرَحَ أَشَدَّ مِنْ حَيَاةٍ بَعْدَ الْإِشْرَافِ عَلَى الْمَوْتِ, there would be no happiness like the person who was just about to die and then he's given, like they say, a second chance, or then he's given life again. He was prepared to die, and then he's alive, and he's going to be okay. فَالرَّبُّ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, so the Lord, the Mighty and Majestic, يَفْرَحُ بِتَوْبَةِ أَحَدِنَا, he is happy with the repentance of one of us. أَشَّدَّ مِنْ فَرْحَةِ هَذَا الرَّجُلْ بِنَاقَتِهِ, more happier than this man is with his camel being returned to him, and now a second chance at life. So Allah Ta'ala is described with happiness and joy at certain events, one of them being the tawbah, the repentance of one of us. And may Allah Ta'ala be happy with our repentance. فَنَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ We repent to Him. وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ And we ask Him to forgive us. And may Allah Ta'ala bless you for your patience and your perseverance in this evening's lesson. It's been a very beautiful lesson. Walhamdulillah. We thank Allah Ta'ala. And it wouldn't be for us to leave this lesson except that we continue to remind ourselves of the sins that we've been neglectful about repenting, and that we engage heavily in repentance, and that we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make us from a tawwabin, from those who continually repent. Because all of Bani Adam, they are khatta'un, continually falling into sin, into errors. وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَّابُونَ And the best of those who are continually erring are those who continually repent. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us from the tawwabin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-tawwabin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-tawwabin. Allahumma ja'alna min al-tawwabin. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. If there's a correction or a question or a comment necessary, yeah, Idris.
Ma'am, when you were saying that, like, if a person didn't know if you didn't know that a person knew that you backbitten them or not to send somebody to investigate, so say that person goes and investigate, and the person tells them, like, yeah, well, I heard that he said this about, does that person fall into Nahima?
If you ask someone in confidence to investigate for you the situation, then it doesn't give him the right to speak about that to other people, and he only conveys it to you for the benefit of knowing that that person has reached him. So if he says something bad, if he says, yes, I heard about what he said about me, and he's a rat, and he's this and he's that, and he begins to speak back, no, he doesn't take that back. That's namima. What he takes back is a yes. He goes back to him and he says, yes, it's reached him. That's enough. That's what he needs to know. He doesn't need to know if he's angry or what his state is or anything. He needs to know, has it reached him or not? He just needs a yes or a no. So if he goes and he hears that, then a person who's a muslih, the person who wants good for the two parties, he says, be patient. He's a good brother. And he's going to come to you to apologize. Because why? He sees that he's upset. He's irate about it. So he knows why he's being asked about this. He knows that the person is repenting, and he knows he'll go apologize if it's a yes. So if he finds out that it's a yes, he can say, the brother is very sad, the brother is very upset about what happened, and he's very beside himself, he's very angry at himself, he's very regretful, and I know him to be a good person, and he just wanted to know if you knew about it, so he would come to you immediately and apologize, and he'll be with you very soon to apologize to you. So now this is a person, yes, I'm fil islah, he is trying to bring about rectification between two parties. No? So he shouldn't go back and say, yeah, he heard about it and he said you're this. That's namima. That's tail carrying. Right? That's a person who doesn't enter paradise. Notice the fine line in this case between a muslih, someone who's bringing about rectification, acting as a middleman, and someone who takes information that shouldn't have been brought back and he brings it back. He says, yes, he's heard about it, and in fact, you know, this is the not only unnecessary but impermissible conveying of a report that is not only against the goal of going to find out that stance or that piece of information, but it is adding to the problems that are already there. And Allah Ta'ala knows best. Abdul Azim.
We were talking about his window of opportunity to make tawbah as long as, like, at that time, like, he knows if he's going to die.
Right.
But we may have disbelieving people in our family. They're on their deathbed, listening to the Shahada or say, nah, I don't know. So, can I be able to say it's open for them? Is that different? Or?
That question is needed that we answer this question because it's very important. What happened? The Prophet ﷺ went to the Jewish boy who was dying and he asked him to accept Islam. The Prophet ﷺ went to Abu Talib when he was dying on his deathbed and said, say La ilaha illallah, a word that I can argue on your behalf because of it. So from the methodology of the Messenger ﷺ in giving da'wah is to never give up and to request a person to repent and to come to Islam even with their dying breaths. Right? That's our methodology in da'wah. But with Allah, it's unacceptable if the person had certainty they're going to die. It's unacceptable to Allah if the person has certainty they're going to die. Not the case of a person who he is in a yaghlib alayhi. It's just most obviously he may die, but there's a chance he may live. It's not that death is directly in front of him. Rather, he's on a sick bed, he's been told this might be the end for you and all of that. This person may live. He's not facing death directly here. Think about Fir'aun in the water. Fir'aun drowning. There's nothing that's going to happen here except drowning. So at the time of him drowning, at the time when he knew there's no way out of this, I'm drowning, that's when he decides to accept Islam and announce what he had already believed in inside but refused to say arrogantly. That's unacceptable. However, we work for people and we try, hoping that Allah Ta'ala will be merciful with that person and accept it from them. However, if it is facing clear certain death, then it's unacceptable. But we still work for it. We go all the way to someone's death, asking them to accept Islam, asking them to repent, and so on. And we don't give up on people, as our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. Whether that is acceptable or not with Allah, that's another issue. But this is how we work, and this is how our da'wah goes. It goes all the way into the death of a person.
So if a person, like you say, is dying or whatever, you say to him, say la ilaha
illallah. Say la ilaha illallah. Denounce everything. If he's a Christian, denounce Jesus as an object of worship. Denounce him now, so you can be saved in the hereafter. So Jesus will not be a proof against you in the hereafter. Right, that he never asked you to do that. He never asked you to worship him. Denounce him as an object of worship. Affirm him as a messenger of Allah. Ask them to denounce what they worship besides Allah and affirm Allah's sole right to be worshipped alone. And that's what that's the priority for the person on their deathbed.
So one more.
Mm-hmm.
If you the debt, like you said, when he was talking about the wealth, a person got debts before he become Muslim, and then he accept Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to pay back these debts?
Absolutely, yeah. Yes, all debts remain upon him, except debts that are based on riba, debts that are based on injustice. So let's say a guy was playing lottery with the mafia or something, with the local people illegally. He was playing lottery with them and he couldn't pay his debts. And so they said, by a certain amount of time, if you don't pay it, it's doubling. And then they double it on him. And then they put pressure on him and all of this stuff. So then the bottom line is his debt is, he comes to Islam, he owes the mafia or somebody $10,000. But it's been doubled and added to. Then we say what's on him is to repay his original debt that he has. Not what's been doubled and added to by oppression. Now, he can pay back the entire amount if the mafia is going to kill him. دفع للضرر عن نفسه. He just intends in this case, التخلص من الشر, get away from the evil. I don't want people to kill me. The mafia is saying I owe them 10,000. I know I only owe them 4,500, but they've doubled it and added money and all of this. I'm going to pay the 10, because if I don't, I can be attacked, or I can be, you know, my safety is at risk. My personal safety is now jeopardized. So just for the sake of, you know, repelling evil, he does that. And he doesn't do that believing that's the obligation upon him. But he does that in order to save himself from harm. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.
Okay, so this opinion of Mutaymiyyah about the person knows Jesus, knows him, and the person doesn't. Being that the person doesn't, and they say don't go to him, is that because it would be like probably exposing your sin?
كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافًا إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرِينَ. All of my ummah is excused except for those who publicize their sins. Now it can be a kind of mujahara. That's if we take the position of Ibn Taymiyyah here. Then it's mujahara. You're informing someone of sinful behavior that Allah has screened for you. Then why are you exposing what Allah has screened? This falls under the generality of mujahara textually, and Allah knows best. None. Aside from that, it brings about discord. Aside from, it's not just mujahara. Because there can be mujahara. Hey, you know I was with a lady last night. He exposes zina. Alright? And he has no shame about it. So now, it's a sign that he has no haya, no shame, no shyness about that sin. But it doesn't breed animosity for someone. Unless he's going to the brother of the person he was with or something, right? Now it's additional on top of just mujahara. But if he's exposing private sins in a way that adds discord between Muslims, now it's doubled, now it's magnified because of the weight of the harm that it's causing. It's not just, I did something and people are just like, you should repent. But now you've done something and the people who hear about you are angry at you and they want to harm you and they want to get you back because now you've offended them or taken something of theirs or, you know, you've started something. You've now created discord with your exposing of that. So that's the likeness of the person who comes to you and he says, you know what, I've backbitten you. I said about you this and that. And I said that you were this and you start mentioning things. Another person is starting to think, why would you say that about me? What have I ever done to you to make you talk about me like now? This never happened before. As far as this person knew, you were just a regular brother at the masjid and he loved you for the sake of Allah and there was nothing in his heart. Now he says, yeah, I forgive you, but look at him. He's saying, yeah, okay, I forgive you. But why? No, I forgive you. But why would you? You know, you can see it's still there. He's a human being. You didn't have to put him through that. You put him through that by telling him about things that you've said about him. And now he's having a difficult time excusing you. Whereas before, there wouldn't be a need there. He doesn't know of any crime against his person. No need for him to forgive anyone. He's clean, his heart is clean. And wallahi, if we were thinking about some of the things that our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to have most, and that is what? A clean heart. That you go to bed at night not having any ghil in your heart, not having any rancor in your heart for any Muslim. Think about how that's a huge, high goal for the Muslims. That they just go on and they have no rancor in their hearts for another Muslim. Beautiful sense of, you know, being at peace and being at ease with your brothers in Islam. And how people who have this beef all the time and people who have this resentment and rancor for other Muslims, they're really, you know, burning inside. And they're not at ease and they're not getting the real benefit of their Islamic brotherhood because they keep holding these grudges between themselves and other people. But the one who goes to bed at night, I love all my brothers. May Allah bless all of them. Everyone smiles and he thinks about his brothers. That's a beautiful heart. That's the heart that we wish we could come to Allah with. That we come to Allah with that clean heart, with no pollution in it for any Muslim. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that. Abdullah.
Kind of like in reverse, where it said, if you send somebody to see if he knows about what you said, and so the brother comes back and says, no, he doesn't know. So you leave it alone. And then 2 months later, maybe it comes to that brother, and he says, well, wait a minute, I thought that
okay, so it pops up later. He's repented from it. It's in his past now, and it pops up later. And if someone's still carrying the tail around here and there, and some by way of someone it gets to him, then at that time you apologize. But you've already repented, and you've done what you're supposed to do. So then, inshallah, as it relates to the original crime, it's repented from. But now, the a proof or some kind a sign of its remaining is still there, so you need to handle it. You can't just say, well, I repented, so I'm not talking to him about that. And he's boiling inside about you. You can't say, no, at the time of repentance, I fulfilled my repentance. Nothing else is upon me. I'm following the words of the scholars. And there's just this man in the masjid that hates you.